Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 343. I'm Steve Borsch. We got a full slate of hosts today, starting with Tim Elliott.
Hey, good morning.
Graham Fickens.
Hey, greetings from Santa's workshop in Bloomington.
Phil Wilson.
Uh-oh,
we lost Phil. Well, he's here. We'll get him back on. And Julio Ojeda Zapata.
Yellow.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
We're all ready. We're ready for The Force Awakens.
All right.
Some of us have already seen it.
But we're not going to talk about that yet.
No, yeah, we're not going to talk about it yet, and no spoilers.
Just no spoilers.
For those worried about that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's a problem.
Right, now, wait a minute, guys.
Yeah.
I was gone there for a while.
Yeah, we know you were.
All right, we covered for you.
We covered, yeah, exactly.
Because that's the kind of pros we are.
Well, I don't know how it popped back on, because I didn't.
I called you back.
I didn't answer or anything.
It's magic, Phil.
It is.
We're having
everybody
that's listening, we're having some really bizarre issues with Skype today.
No, wait a minute. Did you guys start the podcast already?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We went on without you. We thought you were just speechless.
Come on, Phil, go with it. The show must go on. So,
I missed intros and everything.
Yeah, that's all right. Should we start over?
Whatever.
I don't know.
No.
It's your call.
No. No, let's get right into it.
Let's leave all this crap in.
Exactly. I'm okay with that.
Because I'm sure everyone will really appreciate this fluid start to the Minivate Gang Podcast.
Oh, God. All right. Hey, you know what? We can't be perfect every time. Come on.
Well, we should be.
Yeah.
My God.
Right.
We owe it to our public.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. All right, let's get into some Minnesota stories. There aren't very many, but there's some really interesting ones.
Wait a minute. Just a second. Just real quick.
Okay.
What was the music? What did the music sound like when we started?
It's kind of bluesy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
As usual.
All right. Yeah.
All right.
Your toes would be tapping.
Okay, good. Okay. All right. So anyway.
All right. So somebody just put this in the
Grandma.
Show notes about Insight Software snaps up Minneapolis tech company StoryWorks One.
Yeah, I noted that a couple of days ago and was somewhat surprised. StoryWorks being a fairly young company already being snapped up. So,
yeah.
You know, an example of Minnesota eating its own here. You know, Insight Software headed up by Tony Abena, the former Thomson Reuters exec and active angel investor, I guess has gotten to be a pretty good-sized company, e-commerce software company.
Yes.
About 100 employees in the North Loop, and they snapped up StoryWorks, which is in Uptown, and I think is only around a dozen employees, maybe. And I don't know why. There was no price stated, but our friend Bjorn Stansvik of MentorMate is one of or the founder of StoryWorks. It was founded as kind of an incubated company within MentorMate. And I find it interesting that they're selling out this early in their life, but they have their reasons, I'm sure, which is not stated in the story.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that MentorMate was acquired last year by Taylor Corp. And now we have StoryWorks getting acquired by a larger company. So we'll have to learn more about that. Hey, are you guys familiar with StoryWorks at all?
Not at all.
Not StoryWorks, but Insight I am. I actually met the leadership team about a year ago and went through a demo. So they had some very, very interesting software, but this mobile app edition or mobile platform edition makes a lot of sense for what they're doing.
Yeah, StoryWorks primarily is for salespeople to deliver content on iPads, and I'm thinking they've been more aimed at B2B companies, of course, with salespeople in the field, right?
Yeah.
That's the understanding when you look at it. I haven't looked at their site lately, but I do know one local startup that I've actually done some work for is a user of their product, and that's TrueScribe. And I've seen them at like the Minnesota High Tech Association spring conference or somewhere, and it shows off very nicely. I know that, as you would expect. So yeah, we'll have to see what was behind that.
Yeah,
I don't know
if we'll ever find out.
Well, I'm guessing money. I just gonna throw that out there.
Well, you know, that's just, that,
usually
that
why you sell, that's
point.
Why you sell shit. So yeah,
well,
you wanna,
yeah, ooh, but
money
when you're a startup. It speaks to, were they running out of money and this was the easiest way to get money to continue to go forward? Were they having money or having trouble raising money independently, or did they just get tired of being an independent company and decided to throw in the towel?
I'm guessing they made money. That's pretty much the, you know.
Do these guys have a business model similar to App Data Room, or I'm not?
I suspect, yeah. I don't know enough about them, but but we'll have to see if we can find out more here. Maybe Bjorn will tell us.
Well, and I think that Julio, the
simply a sale. So
that App Data Room, they're more of you know, providing sales reps with a tool to present and deliver content. But this one is more along the lines of integrating with whatever is being sold online.
Got it.
Yeah. So that was really the big difference. And of course, speaking of selling online, who isn't? This story about Target reportedly working on its own mobile payments. You know, they were working on that Currency mobile wallet initiative, and then Walmart has their Pay.
Right.
It's like, wait a minute, who isn't doing their own?
Well,
we should get together and start our own
payment. Let's do it.
Let's call we'll call it OGZap. Mobile pay. Yeah,
I was over at Southdale yesterday, and they have booths there with Samsung people trying to get them to sign up for Samsung Pay.
No. Seriously?
They do. They have people and they have big signs hanging around the mall. It's crazy. And it, you know, of course, you know, only works with Samsung phones.
You know, the problem with that, though, it only works with Samsung phones, and then very few banks are on board. It's like way, way premature to have a booth because about 9 out of 10 people that pass by are not going to be eligible to use the damn thing. So it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
So it sounds like you and Apple Pay, Julio, with your credit union.
Yeah, I was very frustrated for a long time because my credit union wasn't in the loop. And as you guys know, credit unions don't, banks don't have any control. Apple, they have to be let in by Apple. Apple has to say, okay, you can offer Apple Pay now. So it's entirely under Apple's control. And my credit union was eager to offer Apple Pay for a year or more. They were finally added to the network, but it's very frustrating for me as a user. And then that whole cycle is now being repeated with Samsung Pay and Android Pay. This is the same exact thing. The providers of the technology are letting banks in sort of dribs and drabs. You know, it's not all banks all at the same time. So God only knows when my credit union will be able to offer Android Pay or Samsung Pay. It could be a year or more.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because Google Wallet, you know, Google Wallet used to be the technology that you could use with NFC terminals in stores. And that was set up in a different way that didn't, you know, require approval from Google. You know, it just worked. My work credit card worked. My home credit card worked. Everything worked. Now consumers are playing this very frustrating waiting game. So.
Well, you know, it was really funny. Well, it's not funny at all, actually. But in this Engadget article about Target reportedly working on mobile payments, the very last sentence says, Target also faces the challenge of convincing customers to trust the retailer with their payment info after 2013's massive data breach. So the second article in the show notes about Target is so, about their major data leak.
Got a data leak from the Target app.
From the Target app, right. Well, you know, and they didn't look at this app as being, you know, because it doesn't require authentication or anything, as being a big deal, right? But the API leaks names, addresses, email addresses, and all sorts of personal data because the API is weak. And it's like, hello, maybe they'll forget that in the payment app, you know? I mean, it's just, it's like, come on, you guys.
And the other, the other major problem, obviously, is fragmentation. If every retailer, if every technology company, if every phone maker, if every credit, you know, everybody wants to do payment systems. The credit card unions want to do their own. The tech companies and the phone vendors want to do their own. The retailers want to do their own. We're going to get to the point, you know, where we just to be able to shop, we're going to have to be able to master like 12 different payment systems, which makes absolutely no sense.
That's why I think we need OjaZap Pay, because, you know, the Zap in there is absolutely fabulous. And you've used that username for a while, right? So we could trademark it.
That's right.
Okay.
And all payments are guaranteed by Julio. So how bad could that be?
Personally.
There we go.
Personally.
That's right. So.
and people who use the OjaZap payment system can be called the Zap Pack.
Ooh, I like that.
See, this is the seed of a great idea.
Isn't it oh hey though?
Yeah.
But still, that's even better. Oh hey Zap, come on.
Oh hey Zap.
Yeah, there we go. Hey, I like it. This is coming together. This is a business plan.
There we go.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you're not necessarily just listening to a podcast. You're listening to the creation of a new industry.
That's right. That's right.
Let's begin.
This is how it all starts.
To be over a napkin. Now it's on a podcast.
There it is.
That's right. That's right.
Anything else in the local news at all?
Well, our buddy Darren Klum has that startup secured too. And this is the one that, I mean, the technology, if you ever get a chance, we'll put a link in the show notes to Secured 2, just do a, you know, 2 minutes of reading about how this company shreds and encrypts and disperses your data. So when you back up something, even if somebody gets access to storage at Amazon Web Services or storage at Box or anywhere, they're only going to get access to some of the shredded data that's encrypted, so you can't put it all together. I mean, it's just a brilliant concept, and they landed funding in a partnership from a Madison, Wisconsin company called Total Administrative Services Corp., and so hope that really helps launch them even further down the road of making Secured 2 one of the premier encryption, backup encryption technologies.
Okay.
Yep. It doesn't say how much he raised, but I discovered it first on his LinkedIn page. I believe I read that they've raised a total of $3.4 million to date. So we don't know how much is coming from this particular round, if you will. But it's more importantly, it's a partnership and it's a benefits company, is the way Kathy Grayson termed it in her story.
Yeah. Yep.
The Madison, Wisconsin.
Well, I think the biggest story of the week is probably not necessarily locally based, but impacts everybody. Is this once again our Congress? You know,
working snuck something into a bill,
being shifty once again, trying to get stuff through, attaching stuff to other bills. So privacy, the surveillance, the cybersecurity, which used to be known as CISA, but now it's as something else. What's it called?
Well, Cybersecurity Act of 2015.
Yeah. So CISA was basically nobody wanted to attach their name to it because so many were against it and the privacy implications. So what do? They rename it and they slide it into another bill and do it in the middle of the night.
Yeah, this is outrageous.
I mean, this whole thing about now there are senators who are intimating that if they'd had all this in place, that 9/11 would have been potentially positively impacted. They would have been able to potentially catch the people. So, I mean,
now, this is just terrible.
I mean, it is. It's awful. And, you know, it's, you know, the great thing is that, you know, bipartisan support of it. It was just like, come on, give me a break. It's nuts.
Yeah.
The public is against this and the public is against other stuff in this omnibus bill. Yet the representatives do it anyway. So the only power we have is the power of voting them out of office. And I intend to do that.
Yep. Yeah, I was really, really pissed off when I saw this. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's hard enough to try to stay on top of ways to keep yourself private. Honest to God, I mean, there's a consulting organization, and Graham knows this organization as well. And one of the things about what they do is they work with major organizations, and so document security is an imperative. And so making sure that somebody can't inadvertently gain access to, you know, strategy documents or, you know, numbers and so forth, you know, that stuff needs to stay secure. And one would argue that a lot of the NSA's mission is not just national security, it's also corporate espionage. And so that's another thing. If I was running a corporation, you bet your bottom dollar I would be keeping that everything encrypted as yeah. much as possible.
Yeah. Not to mention what you could do with insider information in the stock market.
Oh, well, that goes without saying. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, especially if you knew more about, the Zap Pack, if you were one of the Zap Pack and you could use OJ's Zap Pack.
Well, you know what? You know, to change the subject, you know what today is?
Saturday,
Cyber Saturday,
it
or
is
something.
Super Saturday.
What is what? What's that?
It's the Saturday before Christmas, and it's what retailers are hoping. They're crossing
another
their fingers.
Shopping day, huh?
They're marking down everything this weekend. They really need you to go out and buy stuff, and I've completed our holiday shopping, and just like this story here. That's in the notes. I did it mostly on Amazon.
There you go.
You know what was really frightening? My wife and I were just at the Mall of America two nights ago, and there was nobody there. I mean, I'm being facetious, of course, but
relatively speaking,
terrorists. But
yeah, exactly. But no, seriously. I mean, it was just both of us kind of looked at each other and said, "My God, you know, this is a week before Christmas, and there's hardly anybody here."
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, even Black Friday, like Black Friday or two ago, I went to the Mall of America, you know, expecting to not be able to walk through the place without crashing into people. And even Black Friday at the Mall of America isn't all that daunting. I'm exactly the same way. I've just gotten into a mindset where, you know, it's Amazon or nothing. That's how I buy everything these days.
Amazon.
Okay.
Well, more than half the Americans will do most of their holiday shopping at Amazon, according to the headline in Business Insider.
51%. Yeah.
That's incredible.
And I have a garage full of corrugated cardboard to attest to that fact.
Yeah. I'm surprised.
You don't have to keep those boxes, Graham. You don't have to keep them.
they're going out as fast as I can get them out in the recycle. But I was going to say, the business to be in, corrugated cardboard, baby.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
So well, I'm surprised that Walmart's the number two retailer online, right behind Amazon with only 16%. But they're
not surprised.
Really?
Yeah,
no, I don't think of Walmart. I think of Walmart more as a brick and mortar place. I don't see them as an online store.
They are, big time.
Wow,
they've got a whole entourage, you know, facility out in the Bay Area, Walmart.com. They've been active out there for many years.
So
hiring expensive people, you know.
And I hate to tell everybody, but you know, Amazon's saying to get rid of those hoverboards. By the way,
oh yeah,
oh yeah, God. No kidding,
crispy hoverboard photos are showing up online.
I haven't been on one of those hoverboards, but even the ones that are not effective, how the hell are they safe? There's nothing for you to hold on to with your hands. It's just you standing on this thing. How are people not killing themselves? I just don't get it.
Well, the injuries are starting. They're being reported, and it'll only get worse, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's just like it's kind of like a skateboard, a motorized skateboard. So same sort of injury possibility.
Yep.
Well, it's been a real problem. And you know, the airlines are saying that you can't bring it on and all of that. It's just incredible.
Yeah, it's and CES banned them as we.
I have no desire.
Last week and.
Yeah.
And I tweeted, "What, having thousands of people on hoverboards in one place is a problem?"
What would be the problem? What could possibly
What? But
the real outrage is movie theaters not letting people bring their lightsabers to The Force Awakens. That's real outrage.
That's a problem.
Yeah. Yes. Indeed.
Life just isn't fair.
Yeah. Incredible. Yes,
I don't know. I'll work through it.
Hey, I just had a pop-up on my screen. Let me be the first to wish Julio a happy birthday tomorrow.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
On my
happy
screen.
Happy birthday there, young man.
Yeah, the old Facebook pop-up there.
Oh.
Yeah, I just bought myself on Amazon the ultimate birthday present.
What's that?
I bought myself. Yeah, you know, if you remember the original movie Alien, the Nostromo ship, there's these really distinctive little officers' caps that has the little logo on and the little gold leaves on the brim, and I'm rocking the Nostromo cap, baby.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool.
Now that's interesting.
Yes. I'm here when I'm about the Pioneer Press, I put on my Nostromo cap and I'm ready to rock, baby.
Wow.
Love it.
So, let's chat about our favorite tech company.
Your favorite tech company.
Okay.
Graham's favorite
Apple.
Tech company. Yes.
A stockholder's favorite.
You stockholders.
There we go. There we go. And so Nuance apparently wants to build the power of Siri into every app. But you know what, guys? I thought Nuance was at the heart of Siri. Is that not the case?
I think so, yeah.
That's what I thought. I mean, it's what they want to do is create an app called Nuance Mix that gives developers a way to build voice control into their apps. And frankly, I would embrace that. I would love to be able to say, "Hey Siri, open blah blah blah," and have it open
the door, open
an app.
The garage.
Well, we've got all these AI or kind of, you know, purport to be AI. There's one in Google. There's one in Amazon. There's the Cortana in Microsoft.
Right.
Will these kind of be glued together somehow with something like this, so that no matter what platform you're using, a similar sort of AI voice control?
It would certainly move in that direction, you know. And at some point, I mean, everyone's dream is to be able to say, "Hey, computer," and have the computer do things, right? So in this case, "Hey Siri, turn the lights on downstairs." You know, because when I get up
at
5:30,
Steve, I'm not sure it's everybody's dream to say computer. Okay.
Well, some people with vision.
I want to put that caveat on there.
Well, no, but wouldn't that be cool? I mean, in the morning, so if I get up at 5:30 and I go down to downstairs and the dog follows, I open up my SmartThings app on my phone and I hit the turn on the lights and everything comes on. And that's great, except I have to take out my app. I have to launch it. I have to find the SmartThings smart app and make it happen. And how great it would be to say, "Hey, Siri," and have Siri be there listening.
You know the solution to that, right?
What?
Amazon Echo.
Ooh.
No, I know.
It's got the IFTT whatever integration.
And it has, if I recall correctly, SmartThings support now.
Yes, it does.
It does.
Ooh, so you could say, "Hey Alexa, turn the lights on," and go.
What again? That happened 2 or 3 days after I sent it back because it didn't have SmartThings.
Yeah.
Oh, did it really? So, oh, geez. So. Oh, funny.
God, crap.
Well, it's definitely moving in that direction, and maybe the Internet of Things, maybe HomeKit will be. You know, there's this Apple Insider article for the search for Apple's next big thing. Maybe that's it. Maybe the hub control type direction is where Apple's going to end up, and that'll be the big growth. Because, you know, if they do this right, whoever succeeds with the platform and the tools to do the integration and the ability for normal humans to be able to create process flows where they can have lights turn on and certain things happen, whoever does that and does it right and does it successfully is going to just dominate home automation. Yeah. Maybe that's the next big thing.
Well, but is there really a big market for home automation and a smart home kind of thing? Or is it going to be kind of one of those niche things that some people, a niche, yeah, some people like it, but it's not going to be like garage door openers, which are ubiquitous.
No, but think about this. By 2026, there'll be 73 to 75 million retired baby boomers. And that's an audience that has to age in place because, you know what, there's not enough capital in the world to build enough homes for all the retirees to move into. And so that's a gigantic home automation market. Conversely, the millennial demo is even bigger. It's 80
some
million.
Because they live at home with those people.
Right.
Well, in a lot of cases, they do.
In the basement, though.
In the basement. but in all...
basement automation.
Okay. All right. You guys always make light of everything.
Good job. That's what we do.
Yeah.
No, the problem with home automation, though, is, and this has been a problem for a long time, it's just not brain dead simple. It's still yeah, very tweaky. Like I quite honest with you, sometimes I feel like a bad nerd, but I've made several runs at smart things and it's so, I find it, so tweaky and fiddly to the point where I just kind of gave up. I don't do smart things. It's just not simple enough for me yet.
Yeah. Well, I would agree. I mean, it's,
so you're back to X10, right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Well, you should do what I did in college, which is had a long the handle for a broom, and on the end of it was electrical tape, and I could move it up to the TV and switch the channel. This was before remotes. So
stick remote.
Yeah.
You're dating yourself, Steve.
Really? Okay.
Hey,
so Apple.
Phil.
Oh, what?
This was before selfie sticks too, I might point out.
Right.
I was just going to see if Phil could kick that barn door open.
Yeah, kick it open with both feet.
Oh, okay.
Steve's security tip of the week.
All right, well, here's the tip. Ransomware, everyone's favorite. Hackers are encrypting my files and now want a ransom to unlock it, is coming to OS X, and you have
to
protect yourself.
I saw your post yesterday.
Did you? Okay. Yeah. So ransomware is literally it's a Trojan that's installed onto your machine and it encrypts your files. Then you get a big splash screen that comes up and says, if you want access to it, you have to pay a ransom, and then they'll decrypt it for you. And of course you pay the ransom, and in a lot of cases they will continue to extort money out of you. But anyway, there was a researcher in Brazil who did a proof of concept, and it's been validated by Symantec and some others. And essentially what it does is it leaves the operating system alone. Because, you know, we've all always been smug in OS X land that, you have to type in your administrator password to be able to install stuff and get it into the operating system and into the kernel and so forth. Well, guess what? This particular approach basically encrypts all your personal files, your documents, your images, your videos, everything, leaves the applications and the operating system alone because it can't get in there. But everything else is encrypted, including the stuff that's sitting out on attached drives. So, you know, my experience, and I'm sure you guys too, is once this kind of knowledge is in the wild, it's not too long before an exploit appears. And this is one where you could just go to a rogue website and something would download. And if it's set to open automatically, it could launch and infect your machine. So, there's all the boilerplate stuff, and I'll put stuff in the show notes. I'll put a link to the post that I did on my own blog so you can read this stuff. But, you know, I mean, don't follow links in any email that you didn't initiate. And in fact, there's this big thing going on right now. the subject line is invoice or invoice from blah, blah, blah. And it's got malware in Word docs and PDFs. People are getting infected like crazy. Set a good administrative password and don't put it in if you're prompted unless you are absolutely positive that you know what's going on. And, there's all kinds of different notes in here, but just stay aware. Don't think, well, I'm running a Mac, so everything's fine and I won't have to worry about it. And that's my tip.
Yep. Well, as one thing that you should keep the developers to just the ones that Apple approves.
In system preferences.
In the system preferences. Yeah. To that, but you don't say it specifically.
Yeah. If you go into your system preferences in the Mac into security and privacy, there's a setting. It says allow apps downloaded from Mac App Store or Mac App Store and identified developers or anywhere. Unless you're an expert, don't choose anywhere ever. And Mac right, App Store yeah. and identified developers is a really good middle of the road choice, and you can be relatively certain that you'll be in pretty good shape. So,
thank you, Uncle Steve.
You're so welcome. So we have another new for this year and just for this one day.
For this one day,
a new segment called
"New for One Day."
Cool thing for the holidays.
Okay, actually, it's the same segment with a new name. But
there you go. And but it is
more festive, isn't it?
It is. And I would like to start with our guest host, Julio.
Hello.
Okay, so Julio, what is your cool thing for the holidays?
Well, you guys have heard of Google Cardboard and immersive 360 videos that if you have the right kind of video and the right headgear, you can sort of be in the moment. I stumbled across a new consumer product. It's a little on the pricey side at $400, but it is a mainstream product in the form of a little ball called a 360 fly camera, which you can put on your handlebars on your bike or on your helmet or on a tripod or whatever. And this little camera shoots in all directions. So the video you end up with is, in fact, the kind of video that you can watch with your Google Cardboard in an immersive form. And the reason this is cool and kind of important is because until now, you've needed very expensive rigs, with little slots for the GoPro cameras pointing in all directions. And you've needed, very sophisticated stitching software to take all the video from all these cameras and to turn it into 360 videos. And now there's just one little ball-like camera that you can buy at Best Buy and shoot video and create your very own virtual reality videos, which I think is very cool. The video quality obviously is not going to be the same as these pro rigs, but it's pretty good video. You can edit it on your phone, upload it to social networks and so on and so forth. And it's not a perfect product. It's a little pricey, but it's a very important product because we've sort of crossed the line where the creation of these videos is now in the hands of the average consumer. Just pick up this camera stick it on a tripod in the middle of your holiday party, shoot video in all directions, upload it to social networks, share it with your friends. It's very cool.
We were at an event not too long ago, Julio and I, and he had brought this, you had mounted it on a monopod, it looked like, as I recall. So he looked like he was wearing, it looks like he had a really dapper cane now that he had that. But I can also attest that it seems to be fairly hardy because I knocked it over and it didn't seem to break or anything. So.
I've actually knocked it over multiple times. Yeah, it's fairly rugged. It's actually waterproof too. You can take it underwater. And so forth. And again, the downside is the video quality isn't spectacular, but you are shooting virtual reality videos. If you get a Google Cardboard and you look at and you watch certain YouTube videos, you are a consumer of these videos. Those videos are proliferating; they're everywhere. And until now, it would have been prohibitive and difficult for average people to actually make these videos. Now, just go to Best Buy, buy one of these cameras. fire it up and you're good to go. It's great.
Very cool.
That's very Steve, cool.
What is your cool thing for the holidays?
So mine is actually an early birthday present. My birthday's in a few days, my wife said, "Hey, you know, do you want me to give this to you now?" I mean, I knew what it was, but she said, "Do you want me to give this to you now so you can actually use it on the podcast?" And I said, "Sure." And they're the Audio Technica ATH-M50Xs. They're studio monitor headphones, and I got to tell you, they live up to every single rave review that I've ever read. And that's why I chose them, because they're rated, like, they're the second highest rated studio monitor headphones on Amazon.
What are the first?
They're Sennheiser's. I can't remember the model number, but they're $500, so they're substantially more expensive.
Cool.
And a lot of people say, well, you know, geez, the sound's kind of flat. Well, yeah, but the whole point with these is they're studio monitors, so you're hearing what's actually the real sound, you know, on a adulterated sound. And if you poke around a little bit, you can find them for $139 at a couple of different places. But oh my God, are these things nice? So
you're hearing our dulcet tones through a quality set of headphones now.
Not only that, but I listen to music on my iPhone because it has several different plug sizes, and I can't believe that quality of audio is coming out of my iPhone.
It's not, trust me. You're missing so much more, dude. You gotta stop listening to music on your iPhone.
Yeah, you and my brother-in-law, who runs Audio by Design, he wants me to spend $5,000 on a receiver. Or no, not a receiver, no. An amplifier and all separate components. And,
oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Why not?
All right, movie boys.
Movie boys.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. True. Why don't you go, Phil? You go, Phil.
Well, my cool thing for the holidays was Star Wars: The Force Awakens. So I because we didn't really talk about it, and it's really not, you know, we're not a big geek culture podcast, but this is a very, you know, obviously Star Wars, big geek culture sort of franchise. I had an opportunity. I actually bought tickets for the 3D big sound version here in Lakeville at the Carmike for Thursday night at 7:00. I actually bought them on Wednesday morning. So, I mean, it was really not that hard to get tickets. We had great seats. It was a great show. And I think that, what my favorite part of the movie was, besides the movie itself, was the cheering and the spontaneous clapping and applause and
fun
whenever an icon from the original series would show up. And it started with, and this is not a spoiler, it started with the Lucasfilm logo at the beginning, just like the original. So yep. it was
that's cool.
Well, no, actually not just like the original, like the special editions. The originals plain title card.
That's right.
That you're said
right.
Lucasfilm Limited. Yeah.
Well, did you see the link?
I was surprised that they used the same title card from the first 1977 Star Wars, the long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the same title card.
Yeah, but it's an homage.
The exact same title card? Yep. Yep. Because that, if you go back to the special editions again, you will notice that it's a different font and it's produced differently. So J.J. Abrams, he's gone through and he's created a great universe that is very familiar to those of us who have been. And I just realized that I've been on the first day that this thing has been released, or the first weekend at least, for every movie, all seven movies. I stood in line for 3.5 hours in 1977 to watch this. And this is a very satisfying movie for someone that's followed this for over 40 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think that in this one movie, it's almost as if J.J. Abrams made up for the three prequels. Because this was really well made.
And you saw the link I put in there about the opening weekend, 57 million in North America, 130 million worldwide. And I've read two other articles that said that at this present run rate and the opening, that it should gross between 200 and 250 million. I mean, that's just
in the first weekend.
In the first weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just absolutely incredible. And yet, Disney's stock dropped. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Yesterday.
The fickle public.
It's like, I guess the market figured it would get a bigger pop than it's getting, but it's still going to be it's a cultural touchstone. It's a very good movie. It's not perfect though. There are plenty of criticisms and you will read some critical reviews, which
I'm not reading any.
The ones I've read. Yeah. Don't read any reviews. That's the first thing. You want to see it cold because there are many moments that won't be as enjoyable if you know them.
Right.
But it's visually stunning. It is really good. I think that, you know, once everyone has seen it, we can talk a little bit more maybe about some of the disappointing things. But overall, I think this is the third best Star Wars movie after Episode 5 and Episode 4.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming the movie has A, lots of lens flares, and B, Jar Jar appears briefly and they off him, right?
No Jar Jar and not a lot of lens flares. There's a little lens flare.
There's not much. There's not much.
There's a little.
Yeah.
He's kind of winking at you when he does it too.
Okay, so who's next?
That's Tim.
That's
we
Tim.
We want to keep it in the film.
Yeah, or film genre, or we could go. I would go to Graham. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'll pick it up. This is a movie that's opening on Christmas Day in 100 theaters. It's called The Hateful Eight. It's the eighth movie by Quentin Tarantino. And what I love about this, and I'm a longtime film geek, and this is the first film since 1966 filmed in Ultra Panavision 70, which is a very extreme widescreen format that was used in Ben-Hur and a lot of the epics in the 50s and 60s.
And he's using the same lenses, the exact same lenses that were used
with the Panavision, and they said those are the lenses over there. They haven't been touched since 1966. They cleaned them up and they used them. And it's in 70 millimeter film. One of the screens is in Edina at the AMC theater, and I'm taking my son to see it the day after Christmas.
Cool. Hmm. Yeah, I wanted to go too. I won't be around, but bummer.
It'll be great.
Yeah, but it's playing for 8 days. And this is a roadshow, which is like films used to be, where you get a program, the movie will play for 100 minutes, and there'll be a 15-minute intermission. There's an overture before the film starts. It's over 3 hours, so it's extra long. So when this film opens in January, it will be a shorter version than you'll see on the roadshow.
At intermission, you will have to go all the way out of the theater to have a cigarette, as opposed to the days when you walked into the lobby. So
that's
true. Well, if for those who remember in St. Louis Park, the Cinerama Theater, the Cooper, that was there, I saw How the West Was Won with my grandparents when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I will never, ever forget that experience. I mean, I remember sitting in, we were like 30 rows back, and my grandpa kept elbowing me saying, "Are you okay?" Cause he was afraid I wasn't breathing. I mean, it was so amazing. And now I've watched it on Blu-ray and, you know, there's a seam down the middle or no, there's two seams. There's seams on either side. Cause it was such a huge wide movie. But I've seen the previews for this Hateful Eight, you know, in 70 millimeter and it's letterbox, but oh my God, does it look awesome.
Yeah, I've high hopes that it'll be yet another great movie.
Yeah,
and it's taking a page out of the spaghetti western book that he did with his last movie, Django Unchained.
Right.
So
right. So Julio,
I will let you know what I think on our next show.
Great. So Julio, before we because we've talked about
the
upcoming
Graham, right.
Oh,
you gotta get Graham.
Graham didn't do his.
You didn't forget mine.
Of course not. No, the world's smallest drone.
Okay.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
You know, we've all heard about how many drones are going to be sold this year. You know, 700,000, the Consumer Technology Association says. I actually read where the real number will be more like 1.6 million for 2015. But anyway, this is kind of the everyman's way to participate in the drone explosion. And it's the world's smallest camera drone, has a price to match its size. It's on special right now at Cult of Mac for $34.99. And the cool thing about this little palm-sized job, it's got a camera on it and a memory card.
Oh, there you go.
I I can just a 2 gig memory card. I can just imagine how cheap this thing must be. But I'm going to get one just to fool around with it. Remember that client I had, QFO Labs, locally. That had the quadcopter that you can control with a hand controller like a Wii, you know? It really a cool product. And, you know, they were selling it for $99.99. I think they still are. But they asked me once, you know, what could they do and, you know, in new products or what, you know, what would be fun to have, you know, as a next generation. I said, well, you got to get a camera on it. And they said, oh, the payload, you know, we just don't have that much weight we can put on this thing. It wouldn't work, you know, and it would cease to be a toy then, and it would be in another category. Well, this one did it. I don't know what kind of camera it's going to be or what quality, but for $35, it's worth a try, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. You won't have to register it next year either.
Yeah. There you go.
Too small.
The toy drones are light enough where they absolutely don't require registration.
If this gets sucked into a jet engine, it pretty much not going to notice.
Well, I was just going to say, you don't want to be up shooting like a tornado with it, because it's about the size of a deck of cards.
The problem with these little ones is they're not that great outside. Now, the QFO Labs model would certainly work outside, but you get any kind of wind, you got problems. Yep. And what you need is software that will detect obstacles, you know, and these low cost versions don't have that kind of protection. So you're on your own, but I'm going to try it. I thought it was kind of fun.
Cool. You could do it while you go see Star Wars. There you go.
Yep.
So what do we got for it? It's going to see Star Wars this weekend. A completely lost cause. I wasn't going to even try. But tomorrow's my birthday, and I thought I'd maybe take a shot.
Check out on Fandango. To Fandango. You'll find out what tickets are still available. I mean, if you want to buy the tickets there on Fandango, you can. I mean, I was really kind of amazed. We got there early, even though I had tickets that I bought online. You know, getting there early. I got there probably. My wife and I got there about, I bet you 40 minutes before the show started. We walked right in, plenty of great seats. So you get inside that 20-minute window, though it's going to get a little bit dicey. But even the theater wasn't full.
Yeah. Well, Brian Brown, who runs one of the co-founders of Idea Park, the agency downtown, he did a shot on Instagram. His feet are over the seat in front of him. And he said, theater isn't very packed for Star Wars, the opening night. And there were like three people in front of him, and there were like 20 open rows. And so, you know, it's like, hey.
I think that it's very, there was a point made that because there was so much hype about how there were going to be lines and how busy it was going to be, that a lot of people stayed away.
Yeah.
You lost out because it was a great time. So,
well, but you know, back in the 70s when the first one came out, there were not as many screens, and you know, the theaters were different. I saw it on a huge screen with maybe 400 people, and you just don't see it now. And you can go to the mall, and you know, every hour they have a showing of it. So, you know, there's just a lot more performances of the movie, and so I think they'll do well.
That sounds great.
I'll tell you a really, 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 very, very bad thing I did as a kid. I went to see The Empire Strikes Back by myself. Then I ran home, walked in the door. My brother was standing there.
Oh, no.
First words out of my mouth, Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mentioned to my son not too long ago about the ending of Lost. And he almost burst into tears. He goes, Dad, I was going to binge watch that. You know, he was so pissed at me.
Come on.
So I can imagine your brother.
You saved him a lot of time. Go out and clean the garage then, kid.
Yeah, exactly. Your brother must have leapt at you with his hands around your throat.
I'll never live that one down.
I love that.
Oh,
so Tim, and you know, I'll ask this again. Tim, do you think you will see Star Wars The Force Awakens again in the theaters, because really they say for this really to set a record like a Titanic, like an Avatar, people will have to go multiple times to see it. Will you go see it again?
I have taken my family to all of them when my before the prequels, they re-released all the original movies in their special edition. So we took the kids then, and then took them all to the prequels as well. So we're following that format again. I pre-bought tickets a couple of months ago when they went on sale for the 23rd.
Oh, okay.
So my son will be in, and my daughter's going to come over, and we're going to go with my wife, and the family will again watch Star Wars together.
Will you adopt me? my dad would never go to Star Wars. Anyway. Really?
Well, I went by myself, and my parents probably have not seen them, but yeah, I went by myself because I was 17 back then, and was able to drive to the theater and hang out with my friend.
Yep.
Okay. What town was that? 4 hours. We went to the Split City Theater in Garden Grove.
Garden Grove.
And that's when it was a single huge screen. They've since divided it up into multiple.
Yeah, multiple little screens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big living rooms. Yeah.
Then it was huge. And we waited in line for a long time, for over 4 hours, 3.5 hours, I think. And got in, and we got the seat on the the left of center near the front. So I watched the first movie the first time with my head back the entire time.
Oh, geez.
But it was amazing. I mean, the whole thing was amazing. I can still remember the way that the ships came from the top at the beginning, and it was like, wow, this is amazing.
So did you watch it in 3D on Thursday?
No. 2D. No.
I saw it in 3D. It was good.
2D.
It was good. It wasn't overly 3D, so you know how some people can go a little ape shit with it.
That's what I hear.
So.
Right. But you know,
upcoming events, guys.
One thing that's good before we get to that is BB-8 is awesome. I have to say.
See, there you go.
Technology in the 30 years in the Star Trek or Star Wars universe has not advanced a lot, but it has advanced a lot in the drones, and that drone is steals
droid.
The droid. Droid, you mean droid?
Droid. Not a drone.
Yeah, the BB-8 voice, at least based on what I've seen on the trailers, is adorable.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very good.
Cool.
All right.
So. Well, I think we've talked about the upcoming events, actually. And I just want to mention everyone listening that we are actually going to be taking next week off, and then we'll come back on January 2nd for our 2016 predictions show.
Ta-da!
So we hope to hear you and see you or have you listen or I don't know whatever. But I hope you have a great holiday. You guys,
Merry Christmas,
and also to everyone listening.
Happy Kwanzaa, happy Hanukkah. And,
as they say in Australia, happy Christmas.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, and we'll talk to you on January 2nd on
the Minovate Gang podcast.
Take care.
See you then. Predictions.
Lord, out and I can't get a single sound. Well, dark clouds are rolling in, man, but I'm standing out in the rain. Well, dark clouds are rolling in now, man, I'm standing out in the rain. Yeah, flood waters keep on a rolling. Man, it's about to drive me insane. Every day.